Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogart Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Wendell Fikes, and we're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. Today's lesson is entitled, "Repent and Prove You Have Changed." Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 26, and we will begin reading in verse 19. "Consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring, both to those of Damascus first, and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance." Acts chapter 26, verses 19 and 20 from the New American Standard Bible. Observe some background information about the Apostle Paul and this text of Scripture. Luke, the writer of Acts, gives a detailed account of the arrest of the Apostle in chapter 21 that leads up to our study of this particular verse. Years earlier, Saul, an educated Jew in the religion of Judaism, was an extremely zealous persecutor of Jesus and his church. Subsequently, Saul was converted to Jesus and became a Christian and changed his name to Paul. Paul's conversion is recorded in three chapters of the book of Acts, chapters 9, 22, and 26. Paul was arrested in Jerusalem for preaching that Jesus was the way of salvation and that salvation came as a result of Christ and His sacrifice and not the keeping of the law of Moses. The angry people, in mob style, dragged the apostle out of the temple and shut the doors and were beating him. Paul, also a Roman citizen, was bound in chains and then taken to the soldiers' barracks in Jerusalem. The next day, Paul was brought before the council. He addressed that mob and crowd of Sadducees and Pharisees who disagreed about what Paul was preaching to the point of violence. And the Romans became afraid that Paul would be torn into pieces, so they took him by force and brought him back to the barracks. The next day, a conspiracy of Jews gathered and planned to kill Paul on the way to the council. But Paul's nephew heard of the plot and got the message to the Roman centurion. Therefore, the centurion gathered foot soldiers, horsemen and spearmen, left at 9 in the evening of darkness to take Paul about 40 miles to Caesarea on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. After appearing before Roman governors Festus and Felix, Paul was kept in prison in Caesarea about 2 years. While in prison, Paul recounted to King Agrippa his conversion to Christ, in which our text verse is recorded. Paul's very persuasive appeal to King Agrippa to become a Christian almost persuaded him. Let's read the verse again. "Consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance." Repent and prove to God you have changed. Some words are so crucial to our salvation that we must not only know their meaning, but we must know how to practice with our whole hearts what the Word of God instructs us to do. Repentance is one of those words. Repentance has been called the hardest command. Yet, what great and wonderful blessings attend the command to repent. No repentance, no forgiveness of sins. The Scriptures teach plainly and undeniably the necessity of repentance and turning to God. 69 times the Scriptures say to humanity, "Repent." Thayer defines the word repent to change one's mind for the better, heartily to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. Repentance is the making up of one's mind to cease doing evil and to do good, to stop serving Satan and begin serving God, to do an about face, to stop going in the wrong direction and turn again and start going in the right direction, wrote Wendell Winkler. Repentance is stressed and commanded in the Old Testament Scriptures. Old Testament prophets and leaders of God's people call humanity to repent. Observe these examples. Noah, a preacher of righteousness, pleaded for those in his day to turn from evil and enter the ark and escape the flood. Only 8 people, Noah's family, turned from evil, entered the ark, and did not drown. Genesis chapters 6, 7, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 22. Samuel, one of the last judges of Israel, and a prophet of God, declared to all Israel, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts and put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths from among you and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him only, He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 3. Note how Israel was to prove their repentance. 1. They were to return to the Lord. 2. They were to return to the Lord wholeheartedly. Do not do it half-heartedly, but with all your heart. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Number 3. Put away foreign gods. Destroy and rid yourselves of anything that separates between you and God. Number 4. Make ready the commitment. Prepare your hearts to obey the living God. Number 5. Serve God and Him only. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods but me. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, which was the first of the Ten Commandments. Then Samuel said, "When you return to God with all your heart, having put away foreign gods, prepare your heart to obey the Lord and commit to serve God only, then God will deliver you." Note another example. King Solomon, who reigned about 1015 B.C. to 975 B.C., spent 7 years in building a temple to the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 38. At the dedication of the temple, Solomon spoke to the people and pleaded for them to repent. Listen to this part of Solomon's address. Speaking to God on behalf of the people, he said this, "If they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you are angry with them and give them to an enemy, so that they are carried away captive to the land of the enemy, far off or near. Yet if they turn their heart in the land to which they have been carried captive, and repent and plead with you in the land of their captors, saying, 'We have sinned and have acted perversely and wickedly,' if they repent with all their mind and with all their heart in the land of their enemies who carried them captive, and pray to you toward their land, which you gave to their fathers in the city that you have chosen, and the house that I have built for your name, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayer, and their plea, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgressions that they have committed against you, and grant them compassion in the sight of those who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them." 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 46 through 50 in the English Standard Version. The message was this: turn, repent with all your heart. God will hear your prayers. He will forgive your sins. God commanded the prophet Ezekiel to tell Israel, "Repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces from your abominations." Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 6. Again, Ezekiel writes, "For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live." Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 32. Example number 2 of how to repent. The Old Testament city of Nineveh in ancient Assyria was exceedingly wicked. God gave them opportunity to repent, and that's recorded in the book of Jonah. God sent Jonah, his messenger, to warn them of their impending doom. Chapter 3 reveals Nineveh's response to Jonah's words, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Verse 4. Read with us from the book of Jonah, beginning in chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey, a 3-day walk in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. And then he cried out and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let every one turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring on them, and he did not do it. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. God's message through Jonah, turn or perish. Consider Nineveh's reaction to Jonah's warning. The king and all the people heard God's warning. They believed God's message. The king and all the people turned from their evil ways. And the results of their turning from their evil ways and turning to God, God spared the city. The people did not perish. Hear what our Lord said about Nineveh in his day. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 41. Turning from their evil ways is the same as repenting of their evil ways. Repentance was a necessity to be saved in Old Testament times. Repentance was commanded in the Old Testament period. Repentance was necessary to go to heaven. No repentance, no entrance into heaven. Repentance is a necessity as revealed by the scriptures of the New Testament. John the Baptizer preached repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. Jesus taught the necessity of repentance. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Jesus came to earth to save all who would repent. I have not come to call the righteous, the Lord said, but sinners to repentance. Luke chapter 5 and verse 32. I say likewise to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. God himself rejoices when souls come to him in repentance. The 12 apostles urged people to repent. They went out and preached that people should repent. Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. Moments before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave this charge to his apostles. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47. Just a few days later, on Pentecost Day, Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter proclaimed the words that Jesus commanded them to preach. Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repentance, turning from sin and turning to God, was necessary before a person was to be baptized for the remission of sin. The Apostle Peter would later say, "Repent ye therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord." Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. The Apostle Paul declared to the people of Athens, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. The Apostle John was commanded to write to the church at Ephesus these words, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your candlestick from its place, unless you repent." Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. It's well documented by Jesus, John, the baptizer, the apostles, from Matthew to Revelation, that repentance is absolutely a necessity in order to go to heaven. It's been established from the plain teaching of the Scriptures, without any doubt, that repentance, turning from sin and turning to God and being baptized, must be accomplished before forgiveness of sins and salvation takes place on the part of every believer. Every honest and sincere person can know and easily understand how to practice repentance. Turn to Acts chapter 19. Luke records the course of action individuals took in practicing repentance. Someone has said, "If I should die in the pulpit, I would desire to die preaching repentance." Or, "If I should die out of the pulpit, I would desire to die practicing repentance." Turn to verse 11 of Acts chapter 19. "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on all them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds," that is, openly admitting their former practices. "Also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of those books, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver, some $35,000 of our money. So the word of God and the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 20. Those people realized and understood they were sinning by deceiving their fellow citizens. Their magical arts were fake. Their practices could not compare to Paul's extraordinary miracles and casting out evil spirits by the power of God. The Ephesians believed in God and the truth Paul spoke. The Ephesians openly admitted and disclosed their idolatrous practices in which they were engaged. A large number who had practiced magic brought their books together. They burned their books publicly. That, my friends, is repentance in practice. The Apostle Peter declares, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering." He's patient toward us, "not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Ask yourself, do I need to repent? Do I need to turn to God? Remember, Jesus said, "Repent or perish." That is, if I do not repent, I will perish. Perish is equivalent to being lost in hell. The Lord does not want anyone to perish, but it is a fact that everyone who will not repent will perish. We leave you with this thought from the pen of Herbert Lockyer. The two sworn enemies of the soul are yesterday and tomorrow. yesterday slays its thousands. Past sins plunge many into darkness and despair. Priceless opportunities were trampled upon, and the harvest is past. But God says there is mercy still, and forgiveness through repentance. Tomorrow slays its tens of thousands. Vows, promises, resolutions are never fulfilled. Some other time, many say, when urged to repent and believe. They fail to realize that now is the acceptable time. How pitiful it is that the convenient season never dawns for them. The pathway to their hell is strewn with good resolutions, and as they cross the great divide, the mocking voice cries out, "Too late, too late." I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
We hope that you've been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway to Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard, just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented or would like additional study material or a home Bible study, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com or contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening.